Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, do you have Harry Potter fever like the rest of the world?
No, I don't.
You didn't go see it?
I didn't see it. I've only seen one of the movies, which I don't even remember, and I haven't read any of the books.
So you're saying you did line up Thursday night to see the midnight show?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes, sir.
I didn't do it either. I don't care. The only wizard I know is the Washington Wizards, which play in the NBA.
There you go.
I don't get the Harry Potter madness. It's just because I'm a hockey girl.
Yeah.
But, this Harry Potter fever, it's all over the place. Maybe some of these people could buy a ticket to Atlanta Thrashers game.
Yeah, seriously.
Support their local team.
Yeah, try seeing that.
I don't know. The Twilight, the Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we're middle-aged adult males. We just don't care.
Yeah, it could be that.
People dressing up like wizards.
Yeah. I see standing in line. I see stuff on the news like people actually trying to compete in a Quidditch game. Like colleges.
I've seen that.
There's college teams.
Yeah, college Quidditch games.
Yeah, join your hockey team.
This is not a real sport.
Here's a hint. Join a hockey team instead. It's much more fun.
Get out of your mother's basement and play a real sport.
Yeah, let's throw that out there.
All right, now that we've offended half our audience, you probably went to Harry Potter. You know what? If you love Harry Potter, go for it.
Yeah, if it's your thing, it's your thing. I've read a bunch of books that I don't know if I would say I'm not proud of, but you know, I wouldn't tout them as me being some sort of a, you know, literary...
What's the most embarrassing book you've read?
I don't know. I'm not going to pull that out here. It's too embarrassing, dude.
Oh, I was going to say the Liberace and Me.
There's a book called Liberace and Me? Because I'm going to read that.
No. I don't know.
Not that you
I'm
would
just
know.
Making stuff up, dude.
Okay.
I'm trying to avoid the inevitable.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid the inevitable discussion of the Sharks ripping off a bunch of great games a week ago and us sounding pretty encouraged on the podcast a week ago. And then this week... the Sharks lose all three games, two of them in overtime, both games after giving up a two-goal lead in the third period. So nothing really great to talk about here, dude. I think in the media it's been pretty much rehashed about how, you know, the late breakdowns cost the Sharks and how disappointed they are. Let's talk about the Columbus game.
Mm-hmm.
They got worked.
Right.
And I mean, 3-0 is actually a fairly charitable score. I thought it could have definitely been worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
There were times where the Sharks looked good. There were times where you see that top line dominate and create scoring chance and puck recovery and cycle and go again. But those times were pretty few and far between. And it seemed like Columbus had a lot more jump. They had a lot more fire. They were definitely doing much better on coverage. And for the most part, they looked like the much better team most of the night.
Yeah, something we were talking about on the way out of the tank that I think is probably a good discussion point for tonight is Columbus definitely had a game plan for the Sharks.
Right.
They were forechecking two guys all night.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, four guys packed in the box, you know, at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get shots through, really.
And we've talked in previous weeks about how the Sharks haven't been that great at getting shots through anyway.
Right.
Clearly, Columbus knew that. And
you've got less weapons from the blue line.
Right.
So you've got one guy who really is getting pucks through, which is Dan Boyle. So now you don't have Rob Blake to deal with. So why not put that, dare them. Just,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to dare you to score that way. And we're not going to allow you, the Danny Heatleys of the world, to pick up the trash and the Pavelskis to dunk it in. We're just not going to let it happen. And the thing that we've seen, and we saw this all the way back in the Ducks series 2 years ago, is that Todd McClellan seems to sort of have the attitude that we have our system, we're going to play the way we're going to play, and if you figure out how to stop us, then good for you, but we're not going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any visible adjustments on Saturday night.
Right.
I didn't see them try and change things up other than, you know, dropping Heatley down to the third line, which
right.
just did that doesn't do anything. I mean, that's what got Heatley in trouble with Ottawa in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try and punish him, he took a bad penalty.
Yeah, a really dumb penalty.
So then he gets sent down to the third line, and then the Sharks scoring gets even worse.
Right.
Do you take issue with this, or do you think that it's good that the coaching staff seems to kind of have a live or die by our system mentality.
Well, me never being a coach, I mean, I'm clearly talking out of my butt here, but it seems like if you're the better team, that makes sense. If you're the Sharks and you're supposed to win that game, and the Sharks should have won that game, in that they were, on paper at least, you know, more scoring power, a better top end defenseman. Maybe, you know, you talk about, some of the middle defensemen Columbus has, it starts becoming more and more even, but certainly the top scoring lines, I think, for the Sharks are more potent than what Columbus had. So you say, okay, well, you know, that strategy seems to make sense. And if you're a team like Columbus, you have to worry about neutralizing the guys that can hurt you the most. And they did that and they won. So, you know, other than the minute adjustments, I guess I can't find a huge fault in that strategy. But if the Sharks start slipping, and they're slipping a little bit here, and they're sort of getting near that 500 mark, and they're getting near that middle of the pack or lower seed playoff situation, then you start wondering the wisdom of that. You know, if the Sharks can't just obviously win on skill alone and just the better team on paper, shouldn't they maybe play that matchup a little bit smarter? You know, I can certainly make a good case for that. I think they should have. I mean, Rick Nash has killed the Sharks every time he plays. He had all three goals. I mean, hello, you know, 2-on-1, 3-on-1 with Rick Nash. Just go take Rick Nash out. I was watching NHL Live today, or I watched some NHL Live today with EJ Raddick, and they had Jerome Iginla in the studio, and they were talking about a 3-on-1 that Jerome Iginla had with Bomeister and somebody else, and they didn't take Iginla, and Iginla gets the pass and scores. Right. And it's like, and EJ Raddick says in that situation, he's like, if you're the defenseman, if you're the one in the 3-on-1, why wouldn't you just go grab, basically go play Iginla the whole way and let the other two guys take the shot?
Right.
And the Sharks,
anyone but Iginla.
Anyone but Iginla, and it should be anyone but Nash, and the Sharks didn't do it, and he gets all three goals. So it's like, what the hell?
I don't think we can underestimate the Douglas Murray factor in these three losses. And even Coach Crawford of the Dallas Stars talked about how, you know, the Stars are going to take the puck to the net regardless, but they were certainly aware that Douglas Murray was not out there, so they took it to the net even harder. And they scored those two goals at the end of the game, and then the overtime winner, because Murray wasn't there to protect the net. And that's who's going to hit you. I mean, you've got Rick Nash running around. You've got Richards and Ribeiro, who isn't exactly Iron Man, you know, running around out there, because they're not afraid of anybody else. There's not someone there to take that spot when Murray and Vallin were both out in those in that first game, and then Vallin returned against Dallas. Was he there for that game?
I think so, yeah.
I think so, but it didn't really matter. Dude, we did see a little bit of Mike Moore this week before he got sent back, and we did see some Derek Jocelyn. What's your take on these two young players?
Well, Mike Moore got sent down so after only one game, so we saw him and Jocelyn. Moore got a goal, which kind of looks good on the stat sheet, but it was kind of a fluky goal.
It was a weak goal.
It's
that
hard.
It was something that should have been stopped.
Right. And Jocelyn, I definitely been down on the kid when I've seen him before, but I didn't think he did too bad.
That's not good enough.
He's a replacement level player.
Too bad.
I know.
That was not, you know.
He wasn't nasty horrible.
That's good. Good job, Billy. You got a C- on your test.
Yeah,
that's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good enough.
No, it's not. And you know, he's really got to sort of pick up his game, or else it's going to be, if it's not already readily apparent, it's going to become readily apparent that he has no future in the NHL. I think he moves a little bit better than Murray. He's certainly willing to take the body like Murray is, not as big as Murray. I think he's got a better shot than Murray. So I'm sort of putting his ceiling at a little bit like where Douglas Murray is, with slightly more offense but less ability to intimidate.
Yeah,
he's not there. He's not there yet.
I haven't seen that like you have. I haven't seen it. I know he got some praise in one of the games, I think it was the Colorado game, for his pursuit of one of the players. You know, he kept, he was stopping and starting. Good job stopping and starting, Derek Jocelyn.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could have gone out there and stopped and started and not hit anybody.
I can't. I played a game on Sunday night, and I was not stopping and starting. I was doing all the things that they say in the game you shouldn't do. I was coasting by. I was making big circles.
You were starting and falling?
Yes, I was not stopping and not starting. I was just skating away.
So with Murray coming back for tomorrow's game against Chicago, but with Jason Demers now being out,
that's right.
You know, are we just sort of robbing Peter to pay Douglas Murray here, or what?
Pretty much. I mean, we're taking the one thing out of the lineup that we need the most, and that's some offensive spark.
What are you talking about? Vlasic's on fire.
Yeah.
Minus 10 now with no points. Yeah.
Both Mike Moore and Derek Jocelyn have more points than Marc-Edouard Vlasic. It's a little sad.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, Murray back. It'll be good if they're going to put people in the crease, and we need some physicality. But if we need to spark some offense from the blue line, well, we're going to be even more hamstrung on Wednesday than we are already. So that doesn't bode too well for the Sharks. So,
no.
Dude, before we sink way too far into this "why me, sky is falling" thing, even though last week we were pretty happy, I'm gonna go to an email.
Okay.
This is Jim from Section 202.
Jim.
And Jim says, twice this year I've begun to compose this email. Twice I've erased it, thinking let a cooler head prevail. Now that we're about a quarter through the season, I'm worried. Is this as good as it gets? 19 games, 9 wins, 4 times shut out. I like the makeup of the forward lines, 2 good puck possession lines, a speed line, and a beat-up, grinded-out energy line, all of which can score. But I also find myself viewing these things with apathy and sloth. How does this group fail to score in 20% of the games and yet manage 3 and 2/3 goals in the other games? The defense is not contributing to the offense at all, and mental lapses have led to goals the other way too often. The goaltending has been mostly average to good, sometimes very good, and often not a fault for the goals given up. However, not once has either goalie stolen a game. After 19 games, you would expect at least one game to be owed strictly to goaltending, and maybe two. Are the Sharks really missing Blake's leadership in the locker room in offense from the blue line that much? Navi was prone to give up backbreaking goals in big games, but did carry the team for stretches. Questions are, have Blake and Nabokov left bigger holes than can be filled by the current roster, and can anything light a fire under this too often languid team on a consistent basis? Languid, great, great word for the way the Sharks have been playing at stretches. You know, languid would be how I would say they played against the Ducks a second time, against the Islanders. Yeah, languid. So, dude, is Blake and Nabby losing those two guys, is that too big of a hole for the Sharks to dig themselves out of?
No. No, I don't think so.
With the current roster?
Oh, yes. With the current roster.
With the
current
roster.
But I'm still not operating under the assumption that, I mean, if this is the roster that we end the season with, then I will say at the end of the year that Doug Wilson should be fired. Like, if this is the roster that he's going to go,
wow.
Dude, for real, okay?
Wow, okay.
Do you really think that this team, as it's made up, can win a Stanley Cup right now?
No, I don't.
No, there's no way. So how, I mean, if he's going to give us the lip service that's his goal, mm-hmm. the franchise goal, to win a Stanley Cup, and then he really thinks this is going to be the product that's going to be better than last year, there's no way he thinks that's the case. The way that they're operating by, you know, the Worcester Shuttle is in full effect again.
Mm-hmm.
They've sent down Fraser McLaren. They've sent down Moore. They're sending down anybody who they can clear every tiny little dollar mm-hmm. of cap space so they can get somebody in February. Someone's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have to wait. And that's the part that sucks.
Right.
And
right.
And so do I think that we can overcome this? Absolutely. I think that you hit it on the head in terms of we've got the forward lines on paper
mm-hmm.
are outstanding.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no reason why they can't deliver or be even better than the group that we had last year, especially with the emergence of Logan Couture.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he, you know, is so dynamic and what a great scorer. I mean,
great, you know, young player.
For a center, you know, probably more in like the, and this is an unfair comparison, I'm right. going to preface this, more in the Stamkos mode than like the Tavares mode, which is like a passer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is a scoring center.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get 60 assists like Joe. He's going to score 30 goals, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we miss Rob Blake way more than we miss Nabby.
Yeah.
And don't you think?
And more than we miss Malhotra, which is another name that I think is a big guy, that, you know, a big name that we lost last year. Yeah, I mean, looking at Nabby's stats, Nabby isn't even on the first page of stats in the KHL if you sort by save percentage. Nabby's right. under, or he's like right around 900. So Nabby, it's not like Nabby's tearing up the KHL here, and his goals against numbers aren't that much better. So
Nenemäki is having an outstanding season.
He's having a really good
season. He's 7-2-3 with a 2.07 goals allowed and a 920 save percentage.
That's really good.
He's having a great season. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. really probably the best season he's had as an NHL pro.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the team is laying an egg in front of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he had played this way on last year's Sharks team, they would be even better. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think last year, if Nidamaki was playing the way he is now, we know he's streaky, mm-hmm. but if we were getting good Nidamaki instead of bad Nidamaki on last year's team,
yeah.
are they better? Is this yeah. version of Nidamaki better than Nabby?
Yes, I believe he is. I believe he is. So Jim, I don't agree with you in terms of good to great. Maybe he hasn't stolen a game, but as you said, the Sharks haven't played that great in front of him, and I put a lot on those guys. I mean, Vlasic has just been, you know, god awful. He's just at times, and the fact that he doesn't even have a point and he's -9, I mean, it's just
-10, dude. -10.
I mean, I know he's playing the toughest minutes of anybody on the team. That's a fact. But still, those aren't good numbers. Not at all.
Those are pitiful numbers.
Yes.
They're pitiful numbers, and it just goes back to what we've talked about over and over and over again. It doesn't seem like he's up for the task. You
right.
know, you can put anybody out there and they'd, you know, be a -10, a -12. Maybe he's, I don't know, dude, maybe he's just not good enough to be logging those kind of legit mm-hmm. minutes.
Maybe.
So,
can anything light a fire under this team? Jim asks. You know, time will tell. You see, this is a long season. It's a cycle. I hate to punt the can, you know, kick the can down the road here, which is really what I'm doing. But the fact is, nobody really knows.
Sure.
You see Colorado, I always use the Colorado example, super hot at the beginning of the season, totally faded, you know, some good games in the
Phoenix
playoffs.
Phoenix is on a 7-game win streak now.
Yeah, Phoenix.
I mean, Phoenix has rocketed all the way up
right.
to the top of the Pacific Division, and they're 1 point behind Detroit at top of the Western Conference. All of a sudden, and they were in the dump.
And remember, in Anaheim, which we think is terrible, they won 5 or 6 straight, and now they've lost 5 straight.
Right.
So this is a streaky game. A lot of these teams are great. You know, I was doing some research on Chicago. Chicago just kicked the hell out of Vancouver Saturday night, won 7-1. It was embarrassing. But the night before, they lost 7-2 to Calgary, a much worse team. So, you know, you could see it could take something like, I know some Sharks fans will remember the 8-0 loss we faced against Phoenix a few years back and how that was a little bit of a turning point for that year, for that team. Maybe the Sharks need to just get spanked badly by somebody, you know, Chicago this week or Vancouver or somebody.
Yikes, oh my gosh.
I hope not. But, you know, maybe it'll take something like that to light a fire and the team will sort of come to the senses and say, listen, we can't just sort of coast through the regular season and wait till May. Mm-hmm. We actually have to try and build something during the course of the season. We can't just wait for 6 months to start trying to play well. And the other thing, obviously, is this trade. I want to have this discussion about whether Doug Wilson should be fired if they don't make a trade on some other show, because that's a 20-minute discussion. But
right.
I want to just say that so we can mark it for
I was speaking out of passion.
Okay, I hope so. Because I do want to talk about that. But this sort of segues into another thing that we actually talked about before the show, Jim. And this is this sort of general malaise of Sharks fans. I mean, I'm not feeling the same sort of excitement this year as I was last year at this point. I know you're not. You said you were talking to a friend of yours. Like, tell me about that. Like, what's
well,
going on
I
with
was
this?
Talking to someone yesterday about how, you know, he said, gosh, I just am not as into it this year as
right.
I was in the past, you know? And, okay, my level of not being into it is probably way higher than the casual or
sure.
even active season ticket holder.
Right.
I mean, I'm definitely into it and paying attention. But I don't kind of have the Sharks fever
mm-hmm.
that I normally have. And I was trying to figure out why that is. You know, is it because of how the team's performing, which has been so hot and cold, hot and cold? We've seen that before, and it hasn't. And listen, don't get me wrong, dude. I love the Sharks.
Yeah,
I'm watching every game.
Yes,
I've got NHL Game Center up. I'm watching condensed games of every other team in the Pacific Division and the Western Conference. I'm still going crazy. I'm
yeah,
hockey
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah
but
we both are.
There's just I think it's because inside, like, deep in my heart, dude, I know that how this team is constructed right now, they can't win at all.
Yeah.
They can't. And I think until we land that Brian Campbell, we get that Dan Boyle type acquisition, that card that you know Doug Wilson has and he's going to play it, might be hard to kind of kickstart the excitement, dude. Why do you think you're feeling like the way you are?
For me, it's just this simple. And I fought that a little
bit. Tell me about your mother.
Even at the beginning of the season, this team just isn't as good as it was last year. And, you know, over the past few years, I don't think anybody could say we took a discernible, concrete step down from where we were. We were sort of building, or we were sort of saying the same. You know, pieces would go out, pieces would come in. We'd get Malhotra, we'd be excited.
Right.
We get Boyle, we get excited. We see Demers come up, we get excited. This year, we lost Blake, we lost Navi, we lost Malhotra. We see Vallin, we see Huskins, and we think, man, this team just isn't as good as it was last year. And, you know, that's a pill that Sharks fans haven't had to swallow for a while. You know, maybe in 5 years,
right?
They haven't had to say that. You can say they've sort of continuously improved, or at least basically stayed the same. But I don't think anybody can say we're not going to be in contention for the President's Trophy this year. I mean, that's not happening.
But we've also said, I don't care about that.
Right.
I really don't. And I don't care if they're even win the Pacific Division. If we're the fourth or fifth or sixth seed, whatever. Just as long as the team is better.
But you want to see a team that you think that you can look at and you say, I could see this team going on a run and winning the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And I don't think you can say that looking at this roster right now. It's just right now, I don't see that. So maybe they'll pull together and they'll get a little bit more consistent over the season, and we'll have the exact same roster in March and we'll be saying that. That's entirely possible. But right now, that's what sort of rubs me a little. That's what makes me a little.
Are we spoiled by the success of last year?
Yes, absolutely we are. There's no question.
Are we indirectly spoiled by San Francisco Giants fever, which maybe I might be having a little bit of a hangover on that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, now I'm sitting here going, okay, show me.
Yeah.
Show me. I just saw my other team win a World Series.
Yeah.
So now the stakes have been raised even higher.
Yeah.
And like I said a couple weeks ago, I mean, I think as much elation as I felt when the Giants win the World Series, I don't even think it would compare to my reaction if I was in the arena watching the Sharks win a Stanley Cup. I think we would both go absolutely bananas. So, dude,
we need some good news.
You know what time it is. It's G2 Watch 2010. Seriously?
Yes, seriously. It's Choo Choo Watch 2010. I know we haven't done it in a few weeks. We've been busy. We've had a lot of things to talk about. But, you know, after this sort of bummer first 20 minutes of the show, I figure... If anyone's still listening, Choo Choo has 16 points in 17 games.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's got 5 goals, 11 assists. He's distributing the puck. He used to be just a pure shooter, a scorer. He's distributing the puck. I'm reading the game recaps on Sharks pages. I hope you all are. And, you know, he's setting up Ben Ferriero. He's setting up these guys. He's on the top line. He's on the first power play unit. I mean, this guy is leading the team in points. He's a -9, which, you know, is kind of a bummer stat. But the fact is the Sharks are overall -4 goal differential, the Worcester Sharks, even though they have a good record. They're 8-5-1, but they've actually given up more goals than they've scored. Mm. So they've obviously been blown out a few times here. But Chichu's having a good season. Is he having a good season where NHL teams are probably taking a lot of notice? I don't know if I go that far. But it's good to see the old boy doing well.
Yeah, I'm happy that you brought it up, dude, and it makes me feel excited and warm inside.
It makes me feel warm inside.
But I think we should have any sort of false hope for him yet.
Right.
You know, when you see guys like Owen Nolan, who had a really productive NHL season last year, still sitting around or playing in Switzerland or whatever the heck he's doing. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there kind of on the NHL middle class scrap heap that might be further ahead in line. But you got to figure someone's watching and someone might be intrigued, and I hope for his case he's a great guy, class act, good player. Let's hope Cheech lands on someone's radar soon.
I think he's going to be sort of in Patrick O'Sullivan land, to sort of wrap this up with a guy who was just waived and picked up by the Minnesota Wild, actually the team that originally drafted him, I believe. Patrick O'Sullivan was released by the Hurricanes, and the Hurricanes GM said, we just didn't have a spot in the top nine for Patrick O'Sullivan. You know, clearly he's not a fourth line player. He needs to be in the top line, given some ability to put the puck in the net. And that's the same with Chichu. You're not going to see Chichu on a fourth line in the NHL. He just doesn't have the skill set or the size for that. So if a team needs a top nine slot, I could see Chichu filling that. And if any team doesn't have a hole there, it's the Sharks right now. So, certainly.
Right now. You know, that's our trade bait, right?
Right. So, dude, let's move on to some other stuff here.
Okay.
We have another email, or we have some fantasy stuff. You want to talk about fantasy? You want to gloat about fantasy?
We're doing pretty good in fantasy.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. I think we're 1, 2, 3, and 7 or 8 in our four leagues.
Yeah, well, for four leagues, that's not bad to not be bad. In the top half of every league and to be winning one league and second in another, third in another, dude.
Yeah, we just made a trade, and there seems to be a little dissent about our trade in one of our leagues. So yes. let me run this down for you.
Okay.
We traded Joe Thornton.
We did.
Ryan Suter and Matt Molson away. Okay. And in return, we got Thomas Plekanec, Dustin Brown, and Dion Phaneuf. Now, someone has a little problem with this trade and they say it's not fair. And to these people, I say, too bad. And let me tell you why. It's caveat emptor, right? Isn't that how fantasy works?
Sure.
You play fantasy football and baseball and all these other fantasy leagues. I only play fantasy hockey. But the fact of the matter is that we as commissioners, or actually you're really the only commissioner, not me.
Oh, you're going to put this on me?
I'm going to put this totally on you. I'm totally passing the buck here.
Okay.
No, we're both commissioners. We're not here to grade the fairness of trades. We're only there to make sure that no funny business is going on. If the last place team trades all of their best players to the first place team, then that's a problem. For nothing, then we're going to have a problem with that, right?
Right.
Isn't that's something that you're going to say, okay, there's some collusion going on, there's funny business here. But, you know, if you make a trade and you think it's really unfair for one party or another, well, we're adults, you know? It's the big boys now. You think Gary Bettman's going to call up Doug Wilson and say, you got to give Joe Thornton back because Marco Sturm and Wayne Primo and Brad Stewart is not enough. You got to give him back.
That's not fair.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
I'm sorry. Maybe you should look. This is a fantasy hockey league. If you need a fantasy babysitter, you should try another league.
Yeah.
And the best part is, listen, this was proposed to us.
That's right.
And then we countered and they countered and then we accepted it.
That's right.
So that's how it went down.
We didn't even make the last counter, I don't believe. Is that right?
No, it was, yeah, that's
I think they swapped out one of the players in the last round and then we accepted their final counter.
That's right.
So we neither initiated the trade nor made the last offer.
That's right.
So
you know,
don't know what to tell
we're
you.
All adults here and this other team really coveted Joe Thornton. It's what they wanted.
Right.
And you know,
who are we not to give it to them?
Right. We gave them Joe Thornton and we took back what we were interested in. And listen, if you can pull off a trade that you think is in your favor, of course, when you're going to do a fantasy trade, you're going to do something that you think is going to make you better.
Right.
Okay. Isn't that the point? To win?
I believe it is.
Okay. So that's about enough of that, dude.
And we have some skin in the game. I mean, we've made some promises that, you know, we're going to do things if we don't win. I mean, we want to win.
Sure.
So we're going to make trades that we
don't want to win, dude. We're going to win.
And who knows? Maybe Joe's going to go on a run and have 150 points, but, you know, maybe not. And in that case, you know, or maybe Dustin Brown or Thomas Plekanec is going to go on a run and that's going to benefit us. So
speaking of competitions, dude, we got fantasy out of the way here.
Oh, yeah.
We got another email here that's finally calling us to task that we do need to get our picks on. So we got an Andy. I think it's from Andy.
He says, enjoy your podcast, but I'd like to know whatever happened to your bet to see which of you was best at picking hockey games. You decided to challenge each other a few weeks ago, but I've not heard anything about it since. In that first challenge, Doug prognosticated that the Sharks would pick up 5 out of 6 points in the stretch where they played Minnesota, St. Louis, and Tampa Bay. And we all know what happened there. 2 points. I was really looking forward to hearing Doug's predictions since I figured there's a lot of money to be made in Vegas betting the other way.
That I am offended.
No, you're not.
I am.
Are you?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Dude. I feel like I've got like a bad, an unfair rap, and I'm going to defend myself by beating you
okay.
at the pickoff. So we've established some ground rules.
We did, because you know it's kind of hard, because if you're going to pick, you know, if you're just going to pick any game, then you're going to pick these giant overwhelming favorites and you're going to do pretty well most of the time. You're going to pick Washington, you know, over Atlanta. You know, you're going to pick those kinds of games.
So here are the ground rules.
Yeah.
We're starting tomorrow. We will end next Tuesday, so that's 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we must make 7 picks between Wednesday to Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We can make all 7 picks on one day
mm-hmm.
if it matches up with the ground rules. But you just have to pick 7 games in total, no more, mm-hmm. no less. We have to pick teams that are either underdogs, which means they are plus in the line. So like if the Sharks and the Blackhawks play tomorrow, I would imagine that the Sharks are, this is a guess at the line, dude.
Okay.
Mike's looking it up. I'm going to guess the Sharks are minus 120 tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
And what does that mean?
That means that they are favored. So if you bet $120, you would win $100. So then I would guess that the Blackhawks are probably plus 105, you know, which means you bet 100, you win 105. How am I doing?
It's not
up yet.
We don't have lines up
yet. Okay. So anyways, I can look at the line for tonight. You know, Edmonton was in Phoenix. Edmonton was plus 170. Phoenix was minus 300, which means that we couldn't pick Phoenix in that game because according to our rules, we're not allowed to pick a team that's favored by more than minus 150.
Right.
So you have to take a team that is a slight favorite or an underdog. So
right.
that's part of the rules. And we must pick out of our 7 picks, 2 teams that are underdogs. So that means they're in the plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take some creative work here, dude. Does
it
sound fair to you?
Yeah, it sounds
Shake
certain.
On it, dude?
Absolutely.
Congratulations, you're going to lose. Here's the stakes. Okay, dude.
The
loser has to get a Patrick Kane tramp stamp.
Dude, no.
Dude?
No.
Okay, loser has to eat Peter Forsberg's spleen.
Ah.
Loser has to buy dinner at the High Life.
Ooh, okay. Agreed.
Henry's High Life.
Henry's High
Agreed?
Life. Absolutely. Agreed. We love the High Life.
Oh, we do.
And both adult beverage and the restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, well, yes.
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 Yes, we
Delicious.
Do. Anyway.
Okay, dude, so it's on.
So play along, listeners, if you want to, and, you know, see how
we're going
to
put our picks on the blog. We should do it live.
Yeah, we'll have
Let's do it live. We're going live.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live because we want, you know, accountability as we do this. We don't just want to say at the end of the week, haha, I won.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
It's fair.
Yeah, I think so.
And people can taunt us on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? At the end of the week, I want people to take it back.
Okay.
People who have been calling me out, I want you to take it back. And it's going to start with you. And then, Andy, you know what? If I win, I want an apology email.
Wow. You're throwing down the gauntlet.
You think I'll get it?
No.
Oh.
And I think if you lose, people are really going to pile on. They're going to jump on.
I'm a big boy. I can take it.
Okay. Dude, last thing we got tomorrow.
Wait,
you know,
wait. I'm sorry.
Okay.
When you make one of your picks, after you make it, I'm gonna write on there that it's not fair.
Okay. Okay. Especially if I win.
I don't think that it's fair.
It's not
that
fair.
Your pick was unfair.
All right, dude. We got Chicago coming up. There's a little bit of a mini one game goalie controversy. Niemi facing his old team or Nidamaki? How do you weigh in on this supposed controversy?
If Nidamaki got hit by a car tomorrow, I still would not start Niemi in goal against the Blackhawks, dude. That sounds like the worst idea possible.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a terrible, terrible idea?
It does to me.
He's not playing well, so then you're going to throw him in there against his old team, which he probably already, you know, he still has a man crush on some of his friends who are on that team. And so he's going to go out there, and he's playing like dirt.
878 save percentage, 391 goals
dude,
against.
He's playing so bad right
brutal.
Now.
Just brutal.
No, there's...
Ugh.
There's got to be a 0% chance that he plays tomorrow, right?
I hope so. I mean, since they haven't played
no
since
way.
Saturday night, there's no they better
they
start
cannot.
In the match.
I will be beside myself tomorrow
yes.
if I see Niemi skate into that net.
It's, apoplectic.
It will be bad.
Yes.
Bad, bad, bad. I would put pads on Mike Ricci and try and dress him up to look like Niemi before I would actually put Niemi out there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, how much worse does Niemi have to play before the Sharks just say, we give up?
and wave him, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how long the leash is, but I would say he's got 2 or 3 more games to have a decent outing.
You think so?
Yeah.
And then they might just cut bait?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
I don't think
that. And I just mean a decent outing. I don't mean he has to like pitch a shutout. I mean, you know, something where his save percentage isn't embarrassing. Yeah.
I think the leash is still much, much longer than that, unfortunately.
Okay.
But, you know, we're a cold streak away from, on Nidamaki's part, away from this getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I hope not.
Let's hope that we turn the beat around, dude, and I can't wait.
Yes.
To skunk you in the pick'em.
And happy early Thanksgiving to all of you.
Oh, yeah. Happy Turkey Day.
And we will talk to you next week here at Dudes on Hockey.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.